Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Star Wars 7x7 episode 3564. Today we're going to do our deep dive episode into Identity Crisis, which is episode 10 from season 3 of The Bad Batch, and we're going to be talking about Emery Carr because she appears to be the linchpin for this final dash to the finale of the show, and I think it's time to reconsider everything we know about her. Punch it. Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy. And thank you so much for joining me for it. And thank you so much to the patrons who help make this show possible every day with their support at patreon.com/SW7X7, including Ryan O. Ryan O, thank you so much for joining the fun and becoming a patron of the podcast and helping to support me and getting this out to the world every single day. I really appreciate it. I'm so glad you're a part of it. And for today's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about Identity Crisis, but a lot bit about Emery Carr. Because Identity Crisis, which is episode 10 from season 3 of The Bad Batch, this is the episode where we find out where Emery Carr's breaking point is, basically. And we've been wondering whether she is going to be the person who ends up helping Omega, but it didn't happen early on in the season. Now it seems like she's been put into position to help later on in the season. So for this deep dive episode, I thought it would be good to revisit what we know about Emery Carr, so that way we are prepared for when her turn against the Empire happens by the time the finale comes along. So this is what the official databank on StarWars.com says. Dr. Emery Carr blends into the crowd of Imperial medical professionals working inside the secret labs at Mount Tantus on the world of Wayland. A diligent worker who seems to have compassion for the clone prisoners on her exam table, Dr. Carr believes that resisting the Empire's experimentation is futile. But she has more empathy for her test subjects than some, owing to the fact that she is also a result of Kaminoan cloning technology, a sister to Omega and the other clones. Naturally, that's a summary of kind of everything that we've experienced about her so far, and I thought I'd just peel pieces off here and there, like the fact that she kind of blends into the crowd, as it were. And I had been thinking about her as I was prepping this episode and thinking that she was going to have, you know, stuff in various Bad Batch episodes all throughout the series. And I was actually surprised to realize and kind of re-remember that she didn't actually show up until midway through season 2. She was in that Metamorphosis episode where we had the Zillow Beast show up. And even then, she's almost presented like a background player. She shows up and says, oh, Dr. Hemlock, there's a problem, you know, letting him know that stuff is going on with the escaped Zillow Beast. But, you know, that's about it. Like, she's just kind of reporting stuff to him. She's not actually in charge of anything as far as we know. It's not until we get to The Outpost, which is the episode where Crosshair shoots his superior officer and he ends up getting taken to Tantus as a result, where you start to see Emery Carr actually interacting with the clones and being a part of the experimentation situations that are happening with them. That business about her possibly having a little bit more empathy, well, certainly when Crosshair is getting interrogated for the first time under her care, she, you know, calls off the interrogation at some point and the people around her are like, you know, why are you stopping it? And her response is like, yeah, we're not going to get anything out of him if he's dead. And then, of course, he, you know, takes advantage of the situation Crosshair does to try to escape, zaps Emery Carr, you know, and eventually, of course, is caught and put back in restraints and is given even stronger interrogation techniques to deal with. And Emery doesn't stop at that point because, as the databank entry says, she just thinks this stuff is futile. Basically, there's no point in resisting, so you may as well just go along to get along. Or at least that's been her attitude for, you know, the season or so that we've been able to see her. Which leads me to the question of, where has she been all this time? And Omega even asked that question, like, you know, how are you, my sister? Like, I never saw you on Kamino. And Kara's response is that she was working elsewhere on stuff. Now, we don't necessarily know, but we can kind of safely presume, I think, that she is not a pure clone the way Omega is, the way that Boba Fett was or is. She is actually probably an accelerated clone, much like her clone brothers. But wherever she was apparently spending a lot of time with Dr. Royce Hemlock. So we do hear from her that she has worked for him for years, quote unquote. And we also hear from Hemlock that, or from, not from Hemlock actually, but somebody talking about Hemlock, that he had been with the Galactic Republic Science Corps until he had been dismissed because of some unorthodox experiments, whatever the heck that means. But yeah, let's suppose what it could mean. It probably has something to do with cloning. It probably has something to do with genetic manipulation. And if he and Emery have been working together for multiple years, then he was probably interfacing with the Kaminoans at some point also. Although it might even be a little more complicated, because even though Hemlock and Kara have been working together for years, Kara wasn't always working with Hemlock. She had been sent elsewhere, according to the way she tells the story. What that elsewhere is, who knows? But there were other Kaminoan cloning technology outposts and whatnot. We saw an abandoned one of them in that episode in season one where Cad Bane had kidnapped Omega and Fennec Shand came after him, right? So Kara's history with the cloning program for the Kaminoans like runs deep in a lot of ways. Now, mentioned the idea that maybe she feels a little bit of empathy for the clones that she's treating and conducting experiments upon. She seems to have that in greater measure for Omega, although the futility of resistance is still a very strong part of things. I mean, when she catches Omega in, you know, having a personal artifact, a Tukadol, she ends up giving it back, right? And then when she's trying to escape with Crosshair, she says, you know, like, just go back to your cells and we'll pretend like it never happened. Like, she's trying to get her out of trouble. When Hemlock finds out that Omega had domesticated Batcher, she's trying to insert herself into the conversation, Emery Carr is, by saying, like, you know, let me just take her back to her cell. Like, it's okay. Like, we don't have to make a big deal out of this. She's very conflict avoidant in that regard. And through all this, it occurs to me that Crosshair has actually stunned her twice in the series. And now I'm wondering if there's going to be a third one, because, you know, things come in threes. And speaking of threes, it wasn't the clones that are going to break Emery Carr. It wasn't Omega that's going to break Emery Carr. It's these Force-sensitive children that are going to break Emery Carr. That's the thing, based on Identity Crisis, that she goes to Nala Se and says, these kids don't belong here. And all the kids are just saying, I just want to go home. And you're a liar. You said you would find out when we get to go home, and you're not helping us. And then they bring an outright baby. They capture a baby and bring the baby into that vault. So yeah, Emery Carr's loyalty to the Empire is not long for this galaxy. And despite being very conflict avoidant, despite saying that, you know, there's no way for her to be able to help these children, you know, that futility thing again, Nala Se just kind of says, yeah, you know, are you sure about that? Like, reminding her basically that what Nala Se did to help Omega escape, Dr. Carr can help happen too. And in fact, it's now happened twice for all intents and purposes, right? Omega using Nala Se's datapad to be able to escape, and then that one Force-sensitive kid grabbing a datapad and trying to use it to escape. Well, you know, how many times does Carr have to see that these datapads are the key to helping people escape, and she's got the ability to make it happen herself? Now, I'm pretty confident that Carr is going to be the key to not only Omega escaping, but all those clones getting freed and all those M-count children prisoners getting freed too. And I'd love to know what you think. Do you think she's going to be the linchpin for this, or do you think it's going to unfold some other way? So if you're catching this on YouTube, comments are right there. On Spotify, there's a Q&A section right there. So there's my question. So it's time for you to add your answer. And if you're catching this anywhere else, then the blog post for the show's episode at sw7x7.com. Just drop a comment right there. And that is going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Again, if you have not left a rating or review, please consider doing so. It helps more people find the show. So does hitting subscribe or like or follow or join. It tells the algorithms, hey, let's show Star Wars 7x7 in search a little bit more often. And tell your friends, please tell anyone who wants a daily dose of Star Wars joy in their lives that this exists for them. And you can do like Ryan did and help support the production of this show that I've been putting on a daily basis since July of 2014 with just a little bit a month at patreon.com/SW7X7. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode as always, and may the Force be with you wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.